You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I have always felt that after the defense of our nation, the most important decision a president of the United States can make is the appointment of a Supreme Court justice. Depending on their age, a justice can be active for 50 years and his or her decisions can last a century or more and can often be permanent. I took the task of this nomination very seriously. I have selected an individual whose qualities define, really, and I mean closely define, what we're looking for.
And that person is Judge Neil Gorsuch from the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, and he's a Coloradoan, 49 years old. Joining us on the line here today, and by the way, joining us, it's Brian Wilson and Hans von Spakovsky, is our good friend Ed Whelan. He's the president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, and a man who once was a former law clerk to Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. And so you have served in all three branches of the government, but I'm sure that was a very special time working for Judge Scalia. Your thoughts on this nomination, the nomination of Neil Gorsuch to be the next seat on the Supreme Court?
Well, thank you, Brian. I think it's an outstanding pick. Judge Gorsuch is incredibly well qualified, has proven himself as an outstanding jurist. Like Justice Scalia, he's a dedicated originalist and textualist. Like Justice Scalia, he's a brilliant writer who will have influence beyond the particular cases he decides. I just think all around it's a wonderful pick. I note also that it seems to be putting Democrats really in a box, as there are leading folks among Democrats, including President Obama's former Solicitor General Neil Katyal, who have come out in support of Judge Gorsuch, recognizing how outstanding he is. While there are lots of folks on the Democrats' left base who are eager to force them to march off the cliff.
Ed, I actually got a question for you that's a little less related. Look, it's clear that Gorsuch is very qualified for this. But I tell you, one of the things that's been missing from the Supreme Court since the unfortunate passing of Antonin Scalia is his sense of humor. I go up there all the time, as you do, to hear arguments, and I can't count the number of times where he would make a remark or something that would break up the whole courtroom with laughter. That has been missing since he left, and I'm wondering, do you think Neil Gorsuch is going to bring that kind of a sense of humor back to the court?
Well, you certainly see it in his opinions. I think also his you see it in his interactions outside the courtroom. I don't know what his style is in oral argument. I think it'd be difficult for a junior justice to begin cracking a lot of jokes from the bench. But I think the more folks read his opinions, the more they'll see how he combines this rigorous legal analysis with a lot of verve and wit. It's a very appealing combination.
It is, and he seems to have one of those really sharp, clear writing styles that so defined what Antonin Scalia was. I mean, you read Scalia's rulings, and it's done in English that everybody can understand. And this judge seems to have that same style.
Absolutely, and again, it's a clarity that itself reflects a deeper clarity of thinking, but then it's also done in a sparkling way that attracts all sorts of readers and brings them in and gets them to understand exactly what he's arguing. So it's a great mix.
Is there one case that you've looked at from some of his past rulings that stands out to you?
Oh, there are so many, and I've written about a number of them. But I will say on a couple Establishment Clause cases where he mocks the en banc Tenth Circuit's use of a so-called reasonable observer test for determining whether something violates the Establishment Clause. And he, in these cases, points out that what the Tenth Circuit calls a reasonable observer is a patently unreasonable observer, someone who doesn't understand the law, who makes mistakes, because after all, we assume here he's from a small town, who's something of a hot rodder. Just a very colorful way of showing how the majority works into its supposed use of this hypothetical reasonable observer, all sorts of biases and mistakes that lead to the majority's invalidating, in one case, a Ten Commandments monument, and in another, roadside memorials for fallen police officers.
We know the Hobby Lobby case has drawn a lot of attention, and his opinion in that was pretty much verified and affirmed by the Supreme Court.
Absolutely, and I think it's also you know, clearly right beyond the fact that the Supreme Court majority embraced it. He joined an opinion in Hobby Lobby that recognized that closely held corporations can have religious liberty rights under the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. He also wrote separately to highlight that the individual owners of Hobby Lobby had their own religious liberty rights that were affected in the case. And I think he was entirely right to point that out. That latter issue did not get addressed by the Supreme Court, but I think it reflects the depth of Judge Gorsuch's thinking that he wrote separately to highlight that.
And that I think is a really important opinion, because of the fact that when that case got to the Supreme Court, I think it was only decided by a 5-4 decision. So we need that fifth vote to back on the court to uphold the religious freedom rights of Americans.
Absolutely. And Judge Gorsuch has really been a leader on religious liberty issues. He, again, just has shown a clear understanding of what the federal law, in this case, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, means, also the Establishment Clause, and I think he'll continue to be a leader on the Supreme Court.
Do you have any sense of how it's going to go on Capitol Hill? We talked to Susan Ferriccio, who reports up there for the Washington Examiner, and her sense of it was he might actually get the 60 votes.
Well, the Democrats are in a bind. It's actually, I found very interesting that yesterday there were already a bunch of Democrats saying that they wanted to make sure that there was an up or down vote in the Senate. That included, and this really surprised me, Dick Durbin, who's about as partisan as any Democrat comes. So I think the more perceptive Democrats are recognizing that if they try to push a filibuster effort here on Judge Gorsuch, they're likely to trigger abolition of the filibuster in a way that just smooths the path for the next nominee. So I think that you'll end up with no filibuster. Now, what the final margin will be, who knows? I think the Democrats will try to push the final floor vote so that there are fewer than 60 votes for Judge Gorsuch. They're going to have a hard time doing that, though, because there are lots of red state Democrats up for election in 2018.
And many of those, I think I've read there's 10 Democrats who are up for re-election right now who operate out of states where Donald Trump won.
I've seen something similar like that. And a lot of these are first-term Democrats who are very vulnerable. There are 25 of the 33 seats up for re-election in 2018 are Democratic seats. So there's a real opportunity for Republicans to build their majority. And I think, again, you've already seen a lot of nervousness from these red state Democrats, most of whom were among the ones yesterday who rushed out to say that that they opposed a filibuster.
All right. Listen, Ed, thank you so much for joining us. Ed Whalen, ladies and gentlemen, from the president of Ethics and Public Policy Center and a former Supreme Court Justice clerk, a former clerk to Justice Antonin Scalia. Thanks for joining.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.